Hebrews 12:15. And in this passage of Scripture, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. We all go through difficulties in life, experiences that sometimes someone does something to us, and it hurts. It could be something that was said. It could be something that was done. David talked about it in the book of Psalms. He said, I would have understood it if it would have been an enemy. But no, it was you, speaking of someone who worshiped in the temple with them. Why did this happen? I cannot believe. And so there was someone so close to him that turned on him, and there was betrayal. That is a cross to bear when someone betrays you, when someone hurts you. So the enemy of our souls has a very specific strategy to destroy relationships. These relationships, it could be in family. It could be at your workplace. It could be at school. It could be just about anywhere. The strategy is similar. The conflict arises, and judgments are made, and feelings are hurt. And what happens next is a defining point of whether the enemy gains a foothold or the grace of God covers the wrong. I can imagine that the majority of you in here have had some kind of betrayal. I see some young people here. The betrayal could be something that was said at school. When adults hear it, they go, ha ha, you wait till you get my age. You won't believe what happens in life. But it's the kind of story that she doesn't like me anymore. I don't know if I can live life. And so, you know, they're 14, and they lost that love and that difficulty. But it's a real thing to that 14-year-old or 16-year-old or 22-year-old or whatever. It's a real situation. Betrayal, disappointments, hurt. And how we choose to respond is going to define our life. The latter part of Hebrews 12:15 says, and many be defiled. So people are watching to see how we handle something. My wife and I went down to Costa Rica. I cannot tell all the details of some things that happened there. We go down there just brimming with excitement. We go to this conference, like I told you, to hear about the culture living there in Costa Rica. And it was very helpful, very good, and we're looking for a place to live and so forth. We felt God directed us, called us to go there and do that. It was on purpose. In September, the band that we were working with there was having some difficulties in marriage, other various difficulties, and so he said he's going to resign from our ministry. This is the one that we're going to be building the ministry around. Well, we thought that we might be doing that. And so we go through that, and I looked at my wife and I said, this is a test. And one thing I've learned to do is I got out, sometimes I've done it on a paper, sometimes I did it on my laptop, and I start writing it about that. Here are my thoughts, and writing them out. I'm not saying I'm doing Scripture, but David did that in Psalms. He would write them out, so to speak. He would pray them out. He would just lay his heart out before God. And sometimes he said some pretty strong things in the first few verses of one of his psalms. Like one time, he spoke of his enemies. He said, God, would you make the children of my enemies fatherless? That's a very nice way to say, would you kill my enemies? Woo, that's pretty strong. But by the end of the chapter, he is praising God and speaking of him and being the rock of his salvation and rejoicing in him. It's just a process that he went through in order to handle a difficult situation. That's what he did with that betrayal statement that I was referring to earlier. That's what happened there. And so in September, we find out, well, there's going to be a resignation, but there's a whole lot more to the story, and it's very negative, and I cannot really share all that. I think this is being live streamed. I just can't go into those details, but it's a negative story. And it could easily, the response could have been, for me and my wife, anger,
can't believe you did that to me. Let me get a hold of you.
No, you can't have those kind of reactions or responses. The Christians do sometimes think like that, but you can't do that. You got to choose grace. And it was just like a punch in the solar plexus. Boom. And my wife, since she's married me, she's seen a couple of situations that I've gone through. And she's just saying, I can't believe all these things that have happened to you over the years. I've experienced betrayal in the ministry earlier and other various experiences that I have experienced in my life. And you could easily get an attitude about that. You could become bitter. I am ashamed to tell you, at one point in my life when I was in my 20s, I chose bitterness. I had the wrong response. And this had to do with a very close relationship. It had to do with someone very close to me, my mother. And when I was young, my mother, she was a very nervous woman, and she would say to me, one point, I hate you. I wish you'd never been born. And the next day, oh, Eric, you know, I didn't mean what I said yesterday. I love you. And then a couple of days later, she's so upset, she's locked herself into the bedroom. And I'm saying, I'm hungry. Well, go down to your mamaw's. And I don't want to see your face. I hate you. And other things, she said, if I get away from me, if I start whipping you, I'll bring the blood. And so we go, oh, I love you. I hate you, and I love you, and I hate you. And when you're a little boy, 6 years old or so, when mother says, I'm so sorry, I love you, that's okay, mommy, that's okay. But when you're 13 and 14 and you hear that, and I started choosing the wrong response. I built up a wall. I was not going to let that person hurt me again. And then, of all things, when I was 14, my father received Christ. What is going on around here? Then, about 3 weeks later, my mother also prayed to receive Jesus Christ. Whew. Boy, I was upset. And they said, now, we're going to go to church, Eric. We hadn't been going to church. The only time we'd gone to church as a family was to a Catholic church to a funeral. That was it. Never, ever together as a family in church. And they said, we're going to go to church, and you're going to go with us. So at 14, I was almost as tall as I am right now, grew up real fast, and then it just stopped. And so I looked up at my 6'3" father, and I said, I'm happy for you, but I'm staying home. And he gave me this statement. What does he do? He's just born again. He's happy. He's saved. But he can't let his son talk to him that way. And he said, if you put your feet under my table and eat my food, you will do what I say. I thought to myself, rub my tummy. Okay, let's go to church. He got my attention on that one. I sat there in resentment every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. I would try to sit, not trying to pick on you people in the back row, but I would sit way back there. Hi. I'm not trying to say you have spiritual problems, but anyway, I'm just teasing with you. But I did, and I was running from God. And I just sat back there, and I just seethed with resentment. These Christians. Oh, one time, the pastor's wife, I think she had, I don't know if I should tell this, she had evidently had raspberry jam or something at breakfast with biscuits, and she got a seed underneath her dentures. And so while they prayed, here's the pastor's wife. She got it out, and she's there, and she finally gets that seed out. And have you ever felt like someone's looking at you? And you turn, and sure enough, there was I. There was me looking. I'm just having a good time. Boom! Boy, those teeth went back in. Anyway, but I watched those Christians. What are they doing? They are praying. And what do they do when they pray? They close their eyes and look down. I know who's down there. Why are they looking to him to pray? Really, I did not know any better. That's what I thought. I think God's up there, and I know who's down there. So why are they looking down there? I just did not understand these things. I've not been raised up in church. But at age 15, about 1 year after my parents received Christ, I prayed to receive Christ as my Savior. And then at a youth camp at age 16, I dedicated my life to be willing to do whatever God would have me to do. Didn't know that I'd eventually become a missionary, but that's what happened. But what about that resentment with my mother when I'm born again? It remained. It stayed right there. I still had that wall. And I struggled with that for a number of years until finally God dealt with me about that. My whole point is I'm ashamed of that story. I chose the wrong response. I became bitter. And yet, despite that, I was in the ministry. Can you imagine a youth pastor and going through those kinds of emotions, those kinds of thoughts, that kind of reaction? So I learned it the hard way, the wrong way, that bitterness is not the right choice. When I forgave my mother, I really meant it. Now, it came back at me a couple times when I would think about some of the things she would say, and she's still living, and every now and then she's a real handful at age 88. I am telling you some of the things she can say. This is live stream. So I have to choose grace even again today. But you know, God has used that change in me to help all kinds of young people in their relationship with their parents. It's really helped with that. Now, I had this thing happen just recently in Costa Rica, and there was a very difficult situation. I chose to take it to the Lord. I chose, let's extend grace as much as possible. The things that took place could have hauled him into court, and so it's just a very negative, difficult situation going on there. It's not finished there yet, so please pray for this. Then, when these exciting things that I start talking about with this new ministry partner that was brought into our lives, and that a couple of public high schools want us to have exclusive camps for them, then it's starting to make sense to me. Wow, God is really getting ready to do something in Costa Rica. See how Satan's fighting like crazy and trying to mess things up? It's going to be incredible what's going to take place. Better for me to choose grace and love to respond rather than to become bitter or to try to gain revenge, try to hurt him. No, I'm not hauling him into court. I don't plan to do that. I met with our board of directors and shared things with them, and one of them was ready to move in that direction. I said, I really don't want to go that way. Here's why. And I'm thinking about his wife and children, and he will lose his job, be many difficulties, could possibly lose his job. I'm trying to think of the wife and children. They're very innocent in all of this. And so, but if the board of directors votes to do this, I will comply. I want you to know that. And that really helped board members because they were upset about this. So we go through a process. See, that verse there of Hebrews 12:15, the end of it, many are defiled. If I choose the wrong attitude, I would have defiled the board members. If I had this hate, if I had this, I'm going to get even, I'm going to fix him, I'm going to control it. I've learned over a period of time, let God do that. He's a whole lot better at it than I am. I could tell you stories about that. Just turn it over to the Lord. In fact, I try to do something like this in some of these difficult situations. Lord, here's what's going on. It's like I've got it in my hands right now. I can't handle this. I can't figure it out. I don't want to control it. I'll mess it up if I try. So I'm giving this problem to you. I'm putting it into your hands. God, help me. I cannot make it without you. I need you. I need your power. I need your help. So I'm giving this to you. And now, it's your problem. It'll be exciting what happens with that. In addition, sometimes I say, and I don't need to know how you're going to take care of it. I've learned to do that. I don't need to know, because human beings, we go through situations in life where there's difficulties, and we ask the why question. Why did that happen? Why me? And you can get stuck there in the why question. It's natural to ask it. That's how we're wired. That's how we're put together. But if you can come to the place of saying, God, I don't understand. I don't know why. And God, I don't need to know. In fact, I tell myself, I'll say that out loud. I don't need to know. I give it to you. If I never, ever hear of it, I trust you. I go right back to that. And I'm quite satisfied that God is at work behind the scenes. Over the period of years of my age, looking back on a few things, I can look back and see what God has done. And finally, some things were revealed, not everything. God takes us through various ups and downs in our lives, and it's for our good. It is for our good. I encourage you to trust Him. Trust Him. I shared with the Sunday school class today, I believe God is good. It's a foundation to build upon. God is good. And even though something's happened, I don't understand it. I don't know why. I trust you, God. I build upon that foundation that you are good. I trust you. And I will follow you. I will obey you. I will keep moving forward until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. Trust Him. Trust Him with everything. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for Beacon Baptist Church. It's a special church. I feel a closeness to this church, to these people. I'm thankful for the faithful witness. I'm thankful for the message from Beacon Baptist Church that goes all around the world with an incredible missions outreach, but incredible outreach here locally. Lord, our church is made up of people, born-again believers, who go through difficult experiences at times. Lord, I pray that they will choose grace and love and keep the song in their hearts rather than for bitterness to come into their soul. You know, Lord, I did that once, and I did not like myself then. It was a wrong response, wrong attitude. But I learned much from that. I'm so thankful you spoke to me. Lord, I pray that you would just bless these dear friends. If someone's struggling in this area, that they would put it into their hands, so to speak, and lift it up to you. Lord, I give it to you. I can't take this anymore. I can't handle this. I need your help and to trust you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.